Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. People are going like, wait, what? What was that? Where's that big voice? Hey, you know, well, we'll just throw a pitch out there. That's, you know, that big voice was Randy Hawk, you know, radio legend. He'll be back. We'll figure this out, Johnny, right? I mean,
you gotta
play by the rules right now. And the rules are saying that, you know, our rise against bed music is, you know, we got to kind of make sure that we're doing things the way we're supposed to and making sure civic media continues to just, you know, be the most awesome up and coming radio network, podcast, you name it, just civic media, man. So anyway, anybody who's thinking about that going like, that's not the Busted Pencil song I remember. That's all right. We'll get it back. We'll figure it out. Johnny, how you doing this classes in session, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. It is fully spring, which, you know, on campus means all of our courses are firing on all cylinders. Future teachers are getting ready to wrap up their semester, and just a lot of things happening in the world of education. Lots of great conversations going on in terms of, you know, what does all this mean? This moment that we're in, what does it all mean? So it's been really great, and excited to be here, man. It's, you know, it's class in session. So here we are. Let's go.
There's a lot, and there's a lot to teach, a lot to talk about out there. Johnny, how you managed to stay in this kind of happy mood? It's just something. I don't know, man, because I go on to like any of our education news sources, and it's just the headlines don't create any type of, you know, upward positive. You know, it's Trump cut this, Linda McMahon said that, students are being deported for this. If you talk about that, you're losing $1 billion in your endowment. Like, wait a minute, is there anything good going on in the world of education? And I would say that probably the reality of that answer, Johnny, is what I bet you'll say, is in classrooms across this country, teachers are doing awesome things with students, empowering them, enlightening them, lifting them up during this time, and just doing awesome types of education activities.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, I am at a shortage of words for like how to respond to the fact that like it is, you know, a continued circus of events that keep raining down on like what is it going to be like to be an educator in this country? And most days, Tim, I'm just like, a lot of this is distraction and noise from the fact that good teaching is going to be and continue to be good teaching. And mm-hmm. the importance of our local control, state right, education as a state right, it's never been more important. It's always been really important, but it's never been more important. So I keep leaning into that and thinking about how different each state in this country is doing education, and, you know, who do we turn to, who do we learn from, and where do we just continue to support great teachers out there in these schools doing amazing stuff.
Well, speaking of that though, again, local, as you point out, you know, one, you know, the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion. So Kentucky and Ohio have officially banned any reference to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Johnny, as you point out, that is their right as a state to make that declaration, which is in keeping with the current federal administration's wishes, that would be the Trump administration. And on the other side of that, New York State has come out unequivocally and said, sorry, we will be doing diversity, equity, and inclusion. How do you make sense of that in... Are we a country? Are we a country of provinces that do whatever the heck they want? How do we figure this out? States' rights? Are we going back in that direction where, you know what, if I want diversity, equity, inclusion, I got to move to New York. If I'm, you know, if I don't want that, I got to stay. Johnny, tell me this makes some sense to you, or maybe it doesn't.
It makes total sense to me, Tim, because education is a state right.
Okay.
Right. We'll come back to, I don't want to say like, we never moved away from that. There were certain things that federal policy had, sort of influence on, and we've talked about those things here through the Department of Education, especially in discussing what does it mean if we're to get rid of or, dismantle or kind of move power away from the Department of Education. But education has always been a state right. And so plenty of states have been able to say no to federal funding and yes to initiatives that don't align with federal policy. Not that I'm in favor of that, Tim, because they happen to be, states that don't support by and large the kinds of things I was, as an educator, pretty excited that our federal policy was, was promoting, i.e. like civil rights, mm-hmm. Disability Act and such. So I think it's a scary time in terms of where we find support for those really important things. But I also am just going to come back to you. Stop making classrooms the battleground for your political darts across the table game at each other's forehead.
Hmm.
Because that's what this is. Don't do diversity, equity, inclusion, or I'm doing diversity, equity, inclusion. Every single public school, whether they call it DEI or not, by definition of what it means to be a public school, should be dedicated to diversity, equity, and inclusion. The very purpose of having education in a democracy, or even having a democracy, is to be inclusive of everybody that's participating in that democracy equitably, right? And diversity is a condition of difference upon which we all exist. These are things that have to be adhered to in a democracy. So last time I checked, every single state identified as part of a democracy and as a democracy. So again, it ends up being for me this distraction in terms of, somebody really, we can say who, but I don't even need to when I say somebody really got all mad about DEI and felt all threatened by the very fabric of democracy. Well, then a whole lot of other people got really threatened by the angry guy who's threatened about it. And they said, I'm doing it. Well, you can't do it. And say, try me, I'm going to do it. And other places says, well, we're not going to do it if we're not supposed to do it. And everyone's following the argument rather than just peeling back the layers and saying, what is it we do? Why do we do it? And how are we going to do it without calling it something that a whole lot of people get mad about on both sides? So part of me is in that place. If you do hear a woodpecker in the background, I think I was talking with my hands while also touching the table I'm at. I'm at work and I'm at the studio here that is the broadcasting space for students. And I noticed that there's like a shock mount that I think was shaking a little. And I was touching the table. It was shaking the shock mount. So hopefully if you don't hear woodpecker anymore, it's because Johnny stopped touching the table. Still talking with his hands. In fact, I can't not talk with my hands. It's part of being an Italian from Detroit. I don't know any of us that can talk without our hands. In fact, if you want us to be quiet, we got to sit on our hands.
There you go.
So I'm going to sit on my hands and turn it over to you, Tim.
I appreciate to know that it was your equipment and that you didn't go out and take out a woodpecker to make it stop, because, hey, I really like to see woodpeckers out in my backyard and stuff, and I enjoy them. Although I will say, Jacob, that was a great, though. Do you hear a woodpecker? I loved how you put that there, because my neighbor across the street, a little aside here, they have a woodpecker, a pileated big woodpecker that actually, for some reason, has an obsession with pecking into the aluminum siding. And it sounds like somebody truly is out there with a jackhammer. And you come out and you try to find this sound and you look up and you finally look up and go, oh my God, that's a woodpecker pecking on the siding out there. Anyway, I don't know. Johnny, okay, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we're going to continue to do it as we say, we're going to call it different things. We're going to mobilize different ways of producing the same type of conversations. I hear you on that. And I know great teachers who are out there who are saying, like, look, you know, you can call it whatever you want. You know, we're just going to go back. I'm still just teaching history. I'm still just making sure that all of my kids have what they need. Inclusion. I'm making sure that, you know, yeah, I get that. I'm wondering and thinking about this, at what point will it backfire, or can it backfire, where people will finally go, you know what? Like, I'm not so sure we should be against diversity, equity, and inclusion, because if you have, Johnny, have done so incredibly well in the past, is taking each one of those terms, defining them very specifically, and kind of putting out there of going, when we understand what each term means, particularly in its connection to, as you say, the democratic fiber of this nation, every one of those terms has some connection that makes us go, yeah, I'm for that. You know, I'm for equity. I'm for equality. People get this inclusion. Oh, wait, you mean people who didn't have a voice should have a voice? And, you know, most people aren't. I don't know. I see you winching. Well,
I also get why people are upset about it.
I do too. I know why. There was a heavy-handedness, as you were kind of saying, and I'll agree. There was a heavy-handedness with the cancel culture.
Well, that even aside, I know there are people who are racist, and I know there are people who are sexist, and I know there are people who genuinely believe. That's what they want this country to be, or that's something that has been of the past and something they'd like to continue, and that is threatened by initiatives that are against those things.
Right.
So there is, I understand that there are people opposed to those things. So I'm not saying I'm celebrating their opposition to that, they have the freedom to have those views, but then to understand that there's that other democratic value, Tim, we get to around for the interest of the common good.
Right.
And that if we're dedicated and committed to the common good in a democracy, which part of the core democratic values, I mean, equity wasn't introduced by woke people.
Right.
And it's a core democratic value, right? And also diversity isn't something introduced by woke culture. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek. I'm part of woke culture. I know this, and I like it. I'm very liberal, and I love my liberal community. But I also can look in the mirror,
yeah,
and say, ooh, might I be practicing exclusionary practices?
Yes.
That have thrown some, you know, accelerant on the flame of opposition to where somebody who's feeling excluded because they have a differing view.
Okay.
Rather than being democratic and inclusive, right? Which I understand, again, as diversity, equity, inclusion, a part of inclusion is including even perspectives that you disagree with, to the point that we arrive at a common good and our ability to discern that we can disagree and then land on an agreement that, you know, we might say is like human rights, sustainability, like best interest for the planet. No, this sounds super woke, but woke culture didn't invent this, right? So I get why there's an opposition. I think it's an important part of the conversation, but stop making it in our classrooms, i.e. our schools, the battleground for the political debate about this, because it's not actually helping us be a stronger country, have a stronger economy, right? So that's kind of where I end up in those things.
Could I ask a question of you two?
Jacob, yeah. Jump in there, my friend.
So I feel privileged to have two educated educators in front of me who I could field this question to. I'm curious, a lot of people, I know there are people who can articulate why they oppose or support something like DEI, But when I hear people talk about it, both people who like it and people who are kind of skeptical about it, there's a lot of, it seems, ignorance on what exactly it is. If you press them on what do you like about it, what don't you like about it, it gets a little bit vague, and it seems to reflect more their general worldview than a specific thing about this policy. Do you guys have any thoughts on why people seem to be so ignorant, particularly on what DEI is or what people are actually learning in the education system?
I think, actually, Jacob, I think those might be two very different questions that you point out right there. What are people learning in the education system? Actually, yeah, I'm going to tell you, knowing the great teachers that Johnny and I know, they're teaching really incredibly great stuff. They're doing their best, you know, to point out that, sorry, I'm going to slip in a little equity, but you know, guess what? Equality, if you like that word better. And I know in woke hubs of, you know, equity, equality, they're not the same. And I know that. Okay, everybody calm down. What I'm saying though is that good teachers promote and in fact model equality and equity all the time, right? And so it's being taught. Inclusion, you know, we're going to have this student join us today. We're going to make room for this person. Hey, there's a disabled veteran visiting our school today. We're going to make access for this person. You know, they're practicing it. And within that, diversity, right? So it's being taught. I think what happens, though, you're talking about, though, then what about the others, the people who are very hardcore against it? I know this. Part of it is what Johnny said is that it already aligns with who they really built they are anyway, and they like that. And there has been a lot in the other or alternative media that has kind of laid out this point of view that kind of says, hey, you know, you're watering down the culture. It's this reverse racism narrative. You know, my uncle didn't get the job as the warplane fighter pilot, and you know, because somebody else who didn't have any qualifications to fly a plane, they got it instead. Crap like that, it becomes a true story in their mind. And so when you hear DEI in that realm, it's never a discussion about the values, the connections, the what it means. It's code for, hey, some white guy didn't get the job, and my uncle was very qualified, and it gets, you know, that's the big push. And in fact, I would say that even the Supreme Court ruling that kind of looked at this, and where we say where we're kind of going way out of bounds is that in the affirmative action case that the Supreme Court heard, it said that race-based preferences cannot be allowed in this country. And which actually, if you say you want to, on the merits, goes, okay, that sounds like holding up a constitutional precedent that makes sense. You might like it, you might not but did it have the ability to do what we saw this weekend, which was have Harriet Tubman removed from a government website for violating DEI? No, but that's what's happening. Johnny, take us out of this mess.
Well, I mean, I don't know that there's much way out of this mess, except what Tim, I'll come back to, is doing it is, you know, not skirting around the fact that, like I said before, there are very racist, I know this is like this people cringing. We're not supposed to say this is like they're very racist, sexist, you know, exclusionary belief systems and people who are exercising that from a position of power. Mm-hmm. And that requires a lot of like turmoil to do because, you know, it at least it was, and it maybe still should be, I think in most circles, it's sort of like politically, not just politically incorrect, it's sort of taboo to say, hey, I'm a racist, right? instead what you say is like you said, Tim, you kind of shift the language around it, you code it and say, you know, hey, I'm about tired of this DEI stuff.
Yeah.
Or that's a DEI hire, right? Or that's a DEI person, right? What it does is it sort of linguistically adds the taboo-ness of right. the everyday racism, or we could do the same for sexism, or even broadly ability right now, like ableism in these right. kinds of things, or classism, especially as we talk about our economics right now, right? The economy of this country and the amount of struggle that most citizens of this developed nation and democracy are experiencing on a day-to-day level, right? It's taboo. That's just a little less taboo than ever right now in my lifetime, at least, to talk about these things, but to come right out and blatantly say that. But I'm with you on that. And that's why I love to hear it. I'll come back around full circle to where I'm at. States like New York and other states who are saying, nope, sorry, it's a state right, and we're going to continue to do things the way we've been doing things, which also needs improvement, but we're going to tend mm-hmm. to those matters without relegating things like human rights and the well-being of all the good people of this country or who happen to be in New York. And so I think it's on the onus of those states to lead the way in a really divided time in our country. And I think most folks listening know that. So big ups to New York and other states like that are saying, nope, sorry, it's a state right.
Mm.
And we're going to keep doing things the way we're doing them. Does it mean we don't get the federal money? Well, it might. It might mean that for the time being. And so we're going to see that play out. We're going to keep talking about it here at Busted Pencils.
And now for your moment of zen. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness.
Hey, thanks for listening to us today. Today's class in session, Tim, Johnny, Jacob, the Woodpecker, all of us. You can come grab more Busted Pencils content on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, on civicmedia.com. Or you can always go to the website, bustedpencils.com. Hey, but don't forget, you can always catch us on Saturday for the Busted Pencils broadcast across all the Civic Media networks at 3 p.m. Central. And that's where you can listen to more of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.